to everybody else later. But we just, Lord, ask that you would bless this service. Give us a double blessing because it's Shabbat. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom.
Hey.
Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Like a brightness that's burning to the world. On your walls I have appointed men
watching over Jerusalem. Day and night
they will never keep
silent, calling Jerusalem.
For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, Jerusalem. I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth, salvation as a torch, like a brightness that's burning to the world.
Clear the way for the people, build up the highway, remove the stones, lift up the standard, behold, salvation comes.
Silent Jerusalem, I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth, salvation as a torch, like a brightness that's burning to the world. Revealed in you a kingdom of priests, righteous to the Lord, going forth with the torch of Yeshua.
Messiah. Hallelujah. Words and music by Don Bell. The lovely Don Bell. In the fiery orange scarf to my right, that's my lovely wife.
Yes.
And next to her is the very colorful and lovely Tammy Chapman. And next to her is the...
It's a sister.
Sister. Big sister. Carolyn Chapman.
The Chapman sisters.
It's the Chapman sisters. And to my left is the dapper and ever handsome Anthony Cody. And he brought me great coffee today, I gotta tell you. Praise the Lord.
Bless him.
All right. Shabbat Shalom, friends online. This is Rabbi Joe. Pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Isn't that what they say in churches? You pray for me. You pray for us, and we'll pray for you.
Hallelujah. Well, let's bless the Messiah because he's the one who brought us together. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher natan lanu adorecha Yeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, one time Dawn and I were driving in Maryland, and there was a sign on the side of the road, a billboard, had this, it was from this church, it was a Baptist church or something, had a picture of the pastor, and he was pointing, and he says, I want to be your pastor. It's like, how does he know he wants to be my pastor? I mean, think about it. Who'd want to be my pastor?
Hallelujah.
I want to be your rabbi.
Place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker.
And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time, O God, in your abundant righteousness. Answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Somebody get me a water up here, please. I think there's one back on the table. Sent Billy to get somebody, he must have jumped in. Thank you. You just said it right in there.
Pray for Jerusalem. Prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem. Let there be peace, not war. God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem.
Let's bow our heads and our hearts and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Dave, would you like to pray for Jerusalem today? Yeah, come on up. And for the for the Messianic congregations around the world. Stand right over there. Loud and proud.
Blessed be thou, O Lord, that brings us all together. And here's our words, and here's us speak. So I pray today for the peace of Jerusalem. We know what goes on in the world. You know better than us. You have a plan. You have a purpose for all the many things that are happening. We're seeing Jews make their way back to Israel, where they belong, where you want them, where you've called them to. And you prophesied many, many years ago, thousands of years ago, what would happen. And so we see them come to Jerusalem, and there's pain and suffering, and it turns into joy and happiness. But Jerusalem has a long way to go for peace. And we know that peace comes from you. So we pray that you come to Jerusalem, that the people of Jerusalem can say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
And we thank you, excuse me, we thank you for bringing the people back to Jerusalem. And we thank you for what we know will happen, that there will be peace in Jerusalem, and that it comes from you. It cannot come from anyone else. And that you will bring holiness, and that all the people of Israel will say in one voice that you are Lord and Savior. We pray for the Messianic community, which has made a huge inroad, blessed by you, to bring forth many people into Israel, many people to you, O Lord. And it specifically has witnessed to the Jewish people. And we pray that they hear the voice of the Messianic community, and that your words are in their hearts, and in the hearts of the rabbis, and in the hearts of the ministers, and in the hearts of all those that are preaching your word, that are bringing Jews to you to be saved, to have salvation. So thank you very much for all that you've done for us. Though we are unworthy, you have loved us, and you love us still, and we seek to be with you forever. Thank you for your salvation. In your name we ask, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Dave. We forgive you for installing a nuclear power plant generator in Nancy Pelosi's backyard. That was a joke. That was a joke, folks. All right, let's go.
Servant of the Lord.
Where is that old servant? There he is.
And now the Lord says,
he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant,
to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel
unto himself. For he's honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring thy salvation to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
Avinu,
Avinu,
Malkeinu, Maker of all things,
Maker of all things.
So
you sent your son
to take our sin and shame.
Our Father in heaven,
holy
is your name.
Avinu,
Avinu,
Malkeinu.
Please rise for the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto, Leolam Vaed, Yahavta et Adonai Elohecha, V'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol me'odecha, v'hayu ha'divarim ha'ele, asher enochi mitzvcha hayom al levavecha, v'shinatam levanecha, v'dibarta bam, v'shivtecha v'veitecha, v'lechtecha v'derech, v'shach becha v'kumecha, v'kishartam liot al yadecha, V'hayu l'totafot b'neinecha, u'chetavtam, al mezuzot b'techa, u'visharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind their sign upon your hand, let them be frontless between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. Amen.
That one is.
Malchutcha malchut kol olamim umim sheltecha b'chol dor v'dor Adonai melech Adonai malach Adonai loch li'olam v'ed Adonai oz li'amo yitain Adonai barech et amo v'shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is
throughout all generations.
The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen.
Amen. Sure. Okay. We're going to do a Torah processional, so I'm going to ask Eric, would you like to carry the Torah today? All right, and Dave, would you mind coming to help him? And Anthony, if you would open the ark.
Hine matovu manayim shevet arim gam yam.
Somebody help William, please.
Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Liamo Yisrael Bidushato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
Blessed be he who in his holiness gave his Torah to his people Israel.
Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah.
Baku
et Adonai Havorah.
Baruch Adonai
Rachilam Vaed. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amim. Ve'natan Lanu et Torato. Baruch Atah Adonai Noten HaTorah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. You can be seated. Okay, today is the Torah portion is Akev, and it means because, but Akev means heal. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 7 through chapter 11. And the half Torah is Isaiah 49, verse 14 through chapter 51, verse 3. And this beginning, the continuing in the 7 weeks of comfort, this is the second week, so it's Vatomer Tizion, which means but Zion said. And, of course, that's the scripture from Isaiah. But today we get a promise, a reward. You know, we have been teaching all through this that the mitzvahs are all equally important. They're all important to understand and to grasp them. But we have a tendency to step up on them and not really think about what they are. Now, I do a mitzvah a day. That's just, I've been doing it for, I don't know, for a long time. And there's 613 of them, so there's a few. It takes you a year longer to go through them, but I do one a day. As we move into the last book of the Torah, we must never get tired of reading God's Word in the Torah and His rest of His scriptures. The Torah never grows old. The Torah is always new, and it's always refreshing. It was written thousands of years ago, but God's Word is fresh every day. It's not like a book that somebody writes, and sometimes they get out of publisher, and people don't like reading them anymore because they're out of date with certain things in them. But God's Word never gets old. It's always new every day. And if you look at it that way, you'll always pick up something new from God's Word every single day. If you'll read it, He's going to give you something. You know, the things of life within the Torah, the instructions, must be as ingrained in our minds and daily in a daily part of our lives. They should be inseparable from our living. They should be just like when we eat, we sleep, or breathe. Those are things we have to do on a day-to-day basis, and the Torah should be the same way. You know, if you read the Torah portion this morning, you'll know that the reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. That's the reward, is understanding or reading the mitzvah and studying it. You know, today we see God has 10 blessings that are within this scripture part here, and I'll read them off here. I wrote them down. God says He's going to love you. He's going to bless you. He's going to increase your numbers. He's going to bless your body. He's going to give you good health. He said He's going to bless the fruit that you grow, the grain that you grow, and the wine that you produce. He's going to bless the olive oil, and He's going to bless your cattle and your animals. And that includes, it's also another one for blessing the sheep. You know, Moses today, you know, this is sort of his words in his last part of the Torah is about Moses speaking, and he's encouraging the Israelites to not keep on their hearts, but also to obey. Not just keep it there where you can see it, but also it's important to obey it. So it means to study and read God's Word, but also to obey it. If you don't, then it just becomes words like any other thing that you read. You read it and you go on. But God and Moses is encouraging them, as you read it, put it in your heart and obey it. It's important. And we must be guards of God's Word. We must protect it, because the day will come when you, as it was many years ago, you won't have the scriptures to read. So if you don't hide, if you don't put them in your heart, then you're probably not going to be able to find a Bible in a few years. It's coming. You know, it's going to be a mixed company going to heaven. It's just like the mixed company that came out of Egypt. They were Gentiles and they were Jewish people. They came out. But what does God say about all this? You know, they came out, and you know, we're seeing today that they're getting ready to go into the land. And so Moses is telling them it's a land of milk and honey. Everything there is sweet. And we have the various species of things that are there, the wheat, the barley, the figs, the grapes, the pomegranates, the olives, and the honey. Israel is the largest producer of honey in the world. A lot of people don't realize that. But if you ever go to Israel, you know, you'll see I don't think there's anything on the earth that can't grow in Israel. Because when you ride by the farms and stuff, you see these gigantic banana trees and just all kind of things that are growing that you would think would be maybe somewhere another country or something, but they're in the land of Israel. If it's something they have to cover, they have these great big like hothouses, what I would refer to them as, but gigantic long hothouses that's growing all kind of things in there. But what are we to do? What are we supposed to do for God? And the word for love in Hebrew is ahava, and it's a verb, and it means if you express ahava, you have to take action. It's not something where you just You just say, well, I love you, but he has to take action. So God is telling us, asking us today to love him, to fear him, to follow him, to serve him, and to obey him. And as I said earlier, a calf means the heel. You know, we see, if you study the scriptures, you'll know that Jacob, that was his name, the heel. But we see later that the heel became a head. It became a person that was the father of Israel. You see, when Jacob was born, he held on to his brother Esau's heel at birth, and that's how he got the name. They both came out. But the heel is the lowest part of your body, if you didn't realize that, you probably do. It supports your weight, it supports your balance, and it's basically you. It represents humility. When you think about the heel, you think of humility. It's the lowest part of your body. You know, what's interesting about the heel, wherever the foot goes, the heel will follow. In the Torah, it's like the Torah. The Torah points your direction. It tells you which way to go. And that's like the mitzvahs. They are instructions on how to live. And your heel is your bottom line. It's you. The heel determines where you're at all times. And the heel also bears your burdens. A lot of times if you're under a lot of pressure and stress, seems like you feel weighted down, and that's part of it. But your heels support you and lift you up. You know what I mean? And just remember, it was Yeshua's heels that was nailed to the cross or to the executioner's stake at Golgotha. You know, they have found bodies from that period of history, and the spikes are drove through the heel, back of the heel, to hold them on to. Right? If they stuck them in the top of your foot, with the weight of your body, it would probably pull out of your body. So that's why Yeshua's heels was nailed. Well, they was nailed to his heels. And so the nail being in the heels gave him the ability to support the burdens and the sins that was placed upon his body. And, you know, we, with everything that we're doing today, you know, everybody's wanting to take the land from Israel. But I think today, if you look at the word Akev, I think that is a message to the world that says stop taking the land, stop wanting to give the land of Israel to other people. It belongs to, it's God's, and he has given it to the Jewish people. And just to close this morning, God told the Israelites, he says, no man can stand against you. There'll be no man that can stand against you. Shabbat Shalom.
Bnei Israel, I'll be on the night beyond Moshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hands.
Amen.
Life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. Hallelujah.
Was the piano in the house? Felt like it wasn't. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's see, do I have a announcements here? Steal Rabbi's paper. Hallelujah. It's great to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. We're just going to have some few announcements, and we'll continue with our worship. We'll have some praise and dance if it's we have people. And then we're going to listen to the message. And then following the service, we have Oneg. So everyone's welcome. And we have a new person in the house. Would you mind just introducing yourself to us? Johanna King. Great. It's great to have you. And where do you live here in Bristol?
I wouldn't tell you the current
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. So you're oh, awesome. Well, it's great to have you with us, and oh, okay.
Praise the Lord.
Wonderful. Awesome.
Amen.
Thank you. Welcome, Johanna. And oh,
it took me 3 weeks to find you.
Are you serious? They not only is it hard for us to find, they changed our address.
Yes.
So that's probably what they GPS still has our former address, which is 1128 New Hampshire, but now it's 580 Norfolk. They changed all the 911.
And then the prisoners who make the street signs, to make it even worse, they wrote the signs Norfolk Avenue instead of Norfolk Avenue. So people think they're in the North Fork Avenue. And couldn't get much more confusing than that. But it could actually get more confusing than that, because the mailman even stopped me and said, "You don't have a mailbox." And I said, "We've been here 10 years. Don't you know we have a P.O. box?" He says, "We've been bringing mail for 10 years, and there's no place to leave it." I'm like, "Where did that mail go?"
Yeah.
I think it's all junk mail. Thank God, because most of the people we know.
It's just a miracle that we're here. God's got us hidden here. That's it.
It is. I think there is something about being hidden. Not all good, but sometimes it's good. Amen.
Nat and Sherry found us.
You know, the Lord says, if you want to find me, you've really got to seek me, right? So anyway, welcome everyone who's online with us today. We're just so glad you joined. And if you're in the area, we do welcome you to come. Give us a call, and we'll help you with those directions if you need it. We're right here in Bristol, Virginia, and we have people who drive, you know, significant distances just to come, because we are your local connection to Israel, and we're your Messianic connection. And this is a place, if you have a call to serve Israel, to be a part of Israel, even if you're Jewish or if you're Gentile, because we're one in the Messiah. If that's something God's calling you to, you need to be obedient and come. Amen?
Amen.
And be here to serve and to be a testimony of Israel. If we aren't here, if we don't gather, there is no testimony of Israel in the Messiah. Okay? And that's where, you know, the real testimony of Israel is in the Messiah. So we're together, one in the Messiah. And let us know. Call our office. If we don't, we only have one secretary, and she's in on one day of the week. And so please leave a message. We will get back to you. That being said, just sign up for our newsletter and our emails, things like that. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you all. Speaking of the newsletter, I think I've got one here, don't I?
Yep.
Thank you all. our Zion Letter Club came in, what was it, Thursday? We gathered and we did the rabbi's. Rabbi has a new article out on the Zion Letter, and so we gathered to put it together and send out by mail. And I want to give a big thank you to everyone who came and participated. It was an awesome day. We got it done real quick and in the mail. And then we got our copy yesterday. Yes. So that was awesome. We did it in color this time. Usually we mail it out in black and white, and then we make copies in color. So anyway, it's really pretty colors. And then also included is our fall feast schedule. Now, I've got copies of both of these on the back there. If you don't have a copy of what's going on for the fall feast, go ahead and make sure you grab that.
Is the fall feast schedule on the website?
Not yet. I still have to post it. As I said, our secretary is, you know, has been dealing with some real issues, so we're a little slow on getting things updated. But I will have that up on the website, and I've actually been talking with Joan at Messianic Times, and I think we'll be able to get it on their website this year, so that'd be good.
Are you saying our secretary's a little pokey?
Well, please pray for her, because she's got issues with her hips, both hips. She needs surgery, and really needs surgery in both hips. They are not sure they can do both, but I know, you know, she's having problems walking. So just coming into the synagogue is a difficult thing for her. And
why don't you pray for her?
So that's a good idea. But let me finish this, and then we'll pray for Sharon. So Rosh Hashanah, our first service is going to be Sunday, September 25th. At 6 p.m. I think that's somebody's birthday. It's Isaac's birthday. So, Isaac, that means you need to come. Well, don't feel left out, because I've got a service on my birthday, too, or me and Josh's birthday. So we all have to be here during the feast. Me and Josh have to be here definitely on Sukkot. But Rosh Hashanah Sunday, September 25th, which is Erev Rosh Hashanah, 6 p.m. And then Yom Kippur is Tuesday, October 4th at 7 p.m. And then Neilah service, which is the closing of the gates, is 7 p.m. October 5th. And then Sukkot begins Sunday. Our first service is Sunday, October 9th. And then we have a Hoshana Rabbah service the following. Oh, somehow or another that got dropped off, and I think it's just on these copies because I was fiddling with it. So it's the following Sunday, October 16th at 5 p.m. I'll make sure I get some new ones out there. And so let's pray for Sharon. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for Sharon Phillippe and her hard work and dedication to this ministry. And we just really offer you a special request to touch her physically and heal her. Lord, help her with all the burdens in her life concerning her house and her children and her family, and especially her health. Lord, thank you, Lord. We just lift her up to you. She's dear to us, and her spirit is just strong and beautiful. Yes. And we thank you, Father, for Sharon. We ask that you would just raise her up, yes, and open the doors to get those hips attended to, and anything else, Lord. There's other things with her health that she needs. We ask, Lord, that you would bring help and the right doctors, and get her on track. And we thank you, Father, that you just sustain her for many years to come. And in Yeshua's name, we ask this. And by the way, I also offer up prayers for Aja, who is in, I believe, still in NHC. We just ask, Lord, that you would heal her and help her to receive the surgery she needs for her shoulder. Lord, that you would get her system strong so that she can withstand that surgery, Lord, and just bring her back to us. Anyone else who is suffering, and including Rabbi, we ask, Lord, for prayers as we travel to the Mayo Clinic on next week, for his ablation of the back. And we ask, Father, that you would do a miracle with his back.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord. You already performed a miracle concerning the leukemia, and now we're asking for a miracle concerning his back.
Yes, Lord.
And his mobility. Thank you, Father, for all those who've been faithful to be a part of this ministry through all the trials and tribulations, especially COVID and so forth. In Yeshua's name, Lord, we just pray for those others that I may not have mentioned who are suffering and need attention, Lord. You know their needs. You know the very hairs on their head. And we ask, Father, for your care and healing in Yeshua's name. Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I just one other thing, Carol. Are we going to do any projects today, or are we just going to relax?
We're going to relax.
Okay. Who did? Oh, he did. Okay. Awesome. Well, you'll probably notice that we've got some things going on. The place is a little bit of a mess, all right? And that's because we're trying to get rid of a lot of junk. And I've put some things on Facebook. I've been able to sell at least 3 or 4 items and raise close to over $500 for our building
praise
fund
the Lord,
with the Facebook
great
sales.
Yes.
So my next thing is I'm trying to sell overhead projector. We've got two. We only need one. Well, we don't really even need one, but, you know, you never know. If the lights go out in the projector or something. Anyway, we're selling one, and the other thing is we've got this big slide out there. The jungle gym is riddled with some sort of wood mites, wood bees. So it's basically useless. Our children that grew up had that thing. It was in our backyard at our house for years, and then we moved it here. And it was ministered to our children for many years. But now we've got to figure out what to do with it and probably burn it. but the slide, I'm going to try and sell that. Maybe somebody wants to use it. And there's a few junky items around there, so you guys, you know, we may have a little discussion about that. But anyway, bottom line is I'm trying to sell a few things here and there and raise some money so that we can put that towards building a shower in the basement. In the ladies' room, there's room for a shower there. And also updating the kitchen. So keep those things in your prayers. And for me. And also, just as I said, we'll discuss some things during Oneg for what we're going to do this week. Thank you all for helping, everyone who's been a big help to me, especially Nat and Bill. And Nat's come out several times to help down here. I think sometimes I don't even know when he's here. You and Bill are just kind of conspiring. And so thank you, Bill, for just taking the lead and being here. Oh, speaking of that, we're having a shed being delivered this Monday in the afternoon. And so we need to decide exactly where that's going to go. Got a really good deal on it, $1,500. It's half off. And it's a wooden building.
With shingles.
With shingles and a workshop and everything. So anyway, that's being delivered. So That's about it. Just want to give it back to you, Martha.
Okay. Wow. Is there anything left to say? yeah, I'm excited about the shed coming Monday. It's a 12 by 10. And any input that you folks have, I think we may have to move the campfire tomorrow, so that we're thinking to put it to the right side of the other shed. And I think that's another item on the list that Don should try to sell, because an antique shed that somebody could take apart and put back together. Or, no, people actually they pick these things up, put them on trucks, and they really there's people out there with lots of money that like that stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's empty. There, we have a beautiful empty shed. It's antique wood, vintage. It's vintage. And I'm serious. I mean, why not? You know, if we could get $700 for it, it's greater than that. Yeah, it's an antique shed. Yeah. Well, now would pay it. Do I have $700? $800. Going once. Going once. $900. I have $900 in the back. Just kidding. No, but seriously, folks, take a look in the yard and see what you think about. It's a 12-foot, the new one is 12-foot long and 10-foot deep. And see, I'm thinking to put it right next to the other one. We don't want to get it down too close to the water line. We want to keep it on the gravel at least. Water doesn't usually get on the gravel, but it does get on the grass. So, but it's a really nice shed. It's coming Monday about 11, is it? 12.
Well, it's going to be, because they have to deliver one to Art. We're getting one too.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to be more like 2 o'clock, 2:30. Well, stand by for the time, everybody. We'll talk about it more in Oneg.
Yeah. So anyway, we're excited about that because it just helps us with storage. And so I'm excited. Newsletter is exciting. You know, we've figured out that since we've been here for 22, going on 23 years, we have produced over 200 newsletters in that time, and that's a lot of articles. So there's copies of it. If anybody would like a copy, if you don't get one, just raise your hand. Xavier, would you pass them out? Grab a few? They're right there. No, right there, buddy. The red ones. Oh, okay. Josh, would you get them? If anybody would like a copy, it's on the birth pangs of the Messiah. Just raise your hand if anybody would like one. If you're not on the mailing list and you'd like to get it, just... well, that's fine. all right. So we're going to take up tithes and offerings, and I'm going to pray. God is blessing us with items, new items and things, and you know, it's amazing. We got two sheds, both half price. Such amazing deals. So... God is good. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these tithes and offerings. Thank you for your provision for this ministry. Lord, thank you for your loving kindness and your care for us. Lord, I thank you even for our little garden that Don has been tending, and how just amazingly every day there seems to be a new squash, but never more than we can eat, just enough. And or a tomato or a potato or something, you know, a zucchini. Just Don's little garden. And we've been enjoying it all summer long. And it's the first garden we've grown in many years. And it's just been just enough, but it's been wonderful. And thank you, Lord, for the season. And all the rain that we've had, Lord, my sinuses, thank you. I think the Lord told me this morning, you need a few days in the sun. It'll dry you out. I was in total agreement. I think he told me that in the shower. So if anybody wants to contribute to the rabbi's sun fund, feel free. Boxes are in the back. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the givers and bless the gifts 100-fold. We just thank you for these tithes and offerings. Thank you for the gifts, for the alms for the poor, the spare change basket that's there, and for the gifts for the building fund. Thank you, God, for our friends online who support this ministry. We're grateful to you who support us and stand with us. God bless you as you give. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen.
Faithful through all our generations, to be
Hallelujah. Huh? Yeah. Okay. Why?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Doesn't that sound like I had music?
Let the people be glad that our God reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be
still on the throne.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
ageless one, you're my rock of peace.
Oh,
If you're at home and you'd like to join us, if you have some fruit of the vine that you prefer, some grape juice or manischewitz, caramel, Mogen David, whatever you choose, and you have some matzah or crackers and you'd like to join us, this would be a good time to go and get it ready. And I'm going to ask Tammy and Margaret if they would serve today. And we can help each other. You remember how to do it? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. And I'll be right down, and I'll bless before we serve. I'll bless the elements. Praise the Lord. The Lord gave me a scripture for today's table, and it's a Psalm of David. I'm going to read regarding the table of the Lord. And I know it by heart, but because I'm standing here before you, I want to get it right. So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Amen.
You pass me the bread. There it is. Thank you. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Ore peri hagafen, amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atarnai, Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz, amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, the kernel of wheat that fell into the ground and brought forth a harvest. so abundant that no man could count it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for this table of grace, yes. Of chesed, yes. Of grace. And we just love you, and we are grateful for all that you've done for us, that we get to come to this table and have the privilege of receiving your grace, all that it represents, your love, your intimacy, your healing, the blood represents your healing. Your word said on that Passover night, you said of this cup, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins, represented by your stripes, the blood that you shed for us at Calvary. And the bread, you said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And so we take this broken piece of afikomen from the Passover meal in remembrance of your body that was given for us on the cross of Calvary. Lord, you spoke of the new covenant that Jewish people don't even know about. They need to read Jeremiah 31:31. The average Jewish person doesn't even know that you promised a new covenant. Your word says, for I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their ancestors, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, saith the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with them in those days, and I will put my Torah within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people, and I will forgive their sins, and no more will they say to one another, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. And it was that covenant that you instituted on that day. You explained it to your disciples at Passover, and then you lived it out, and you went to the cross for us, and you became the Brit Chadashah, the new covenant. Praise the Lord. If you don't know the Messiah today, and you're watching, or you're in the house today, if there's somebody that doesn't know the Lord, or needs to rededicate their life to the Lord, if you want to just tell the Lord you love him and you want to rededicate your life, let's bow our heads. Just raise your hand and pray with me if you'd like to recommit your life to the Lord, or if you'd like to meet the Lord, just bow your head and we'll pray. Dear God, I confess I have sinned against you. I have broken your laws. I have not read your word. I have not kept your commandments. I need your forgiveness. I believe you sent Yeshua. Jesus of Nazareth. To take away my sin and shame. Come into my heart, Lord. Wash me. Cleanse me. And put my name in your book of life. Forever and ever. In Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. We invite all believers in Yeshua to come to the table as you're ready. I always encourage people, if you have sin, to confess your sins before you come. It's a good to keep a short list with God. Hallelujah. So come as you're ready, and I'm going to pass the tray to Tammy and Margaret, and they're going to serve you as you're ready to come. Thank you, ladies.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all wrongs, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what your and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what your worth.
Oh, crucified, behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground.
You took the fall
and thought of me.
L'chaim be Yeshua, to life in Yeshua, our Messiah. Can we turn the bass amp off? Okay. Okay. Last week was a pretty... did anybody not hear last week's message? Okay, well, it's in the newsletter. So if you you read it. So that's pretty much what I preached last week. I'm going to follow up on the seals and going into the judgments soon, but I haven't done part two yet, I've got it in my head, but I don't want to give you less than my best, so I will follow it up soon. But this is another message that I've worked on several weeks ago and have been intending to give. It's called The Twofold Purpose of Messianic Judaism. I'm just waiting for the cameras to come. And so that the Facebook folks can watch. So I'll tell you about what we did last night. So Josh had a football game, Tennessee High versus Dobbins Bennett in Kingsport, and it was quite a spectacle. That's an awfully big school they've got there, and it's about three Tennessee high schools, and that their marching band was bigger than all of Tennessee High, I think. It's always kind of comical when we go to these huge schools and they have, you know, what are those big drums they play? You know, the boom, boom, you know, the bass drum. And then they have tubas. They probably had 20 bass drums and 20 tubas and you name it, they had 20 of them. And we have, at Tennessee High, you know, we have three tubas and two bass drums and, you know, we're just a regular little old marching band, you know. And they did a great job, but Josh's team fought hard and they kept the score. Oh, did you guys keep it below 30? Josh? No comment from Josh. Well, they've been whipped worse, but Josh did pretty good. He got the first carry of the game. He got the ball and he ran several times. He had a lot of runs, but they need to get some blocking for him. Anyway, so well, he's getting that ready, but it's quite an amazing thing and. Josh has done very well. He's a starter for Tennessee High at running back. So, and then the silver one there, that will be for my page, Josh. Is that what you got set up?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm going to pray and then we can start. So let's pray. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for our friends and family here with us and those who are not with us today. We pray that you bless them. You know their needs. You know their situations, where they are. And we just give thanks, Lord, for our Messianic family. For many of us, it's the only family we have. And virtually. So we thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Messiah. And now bless this message. Empty me of Joe. Make me a vessel of your word. And bring forth this message in the name of Yeshua. Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen and amen. Bind the enemy. Hallelujah. Okay, you can start the videos if we're... Are they started, Josh? All right. I want to welcome friends on Facebook. I'm Rabbi Joe. God bless you. Welcome today. Today's message is the twofold purpose of Messianic Judaism. The twofold purpose. I suppose if you really try hard enough, you could come up with the threefold purpose or the fourfold. But I came up with the twofold purpose because I try to keep it simple. And Eric likes that, right? So anyhow, the twofold purpose of Messianic Judaism. Let's begin in Luke 21 with the times of the Gentiles. And turn to Luke 21, please. We're going to go through some scriptures today. Luke 21, excuse me, Luke 21. Okay, Yeshua said, somewhere in there, he said, Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Does anybody see the verse? Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot. There it is, verse 24. He says, woe to those who are pregnant. Verse 22, he says, because these are days of vengeance, so that all things which are written will be fulfilled. He says, woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress upon the land and wrath to this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles. In Hebrew, the word is the goyim, the Gentiles, or the nations. The word goyim, it means Gentile. It also means nations, and plural. Goy is a Gentile or a nation, and plural is goyim. Until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Then he goes on. He says there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth dismay among nations, and perplexity at the roaring of the waves. Men fainting from fear at the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world. Expectation. People have an expectation of things coming upon the world. I was watching someone on TV the other day, and it was not anybody. It wasn't a belief. Particular. It wasn't a preacher. It wasn't a prophet. It wasn't. It was just a regular person who said, they just sensed that the end of the world is coming. You know, they sensed that the end of the world. I think people have an expectation that something is not right with the world, and that something, you know, some dark times are coming. I don't think you have to be a prophet or necessarily even a believer to sense that there's storms are coming upon the earth, and are already here, and but they're going to be worse in the future. We've just come through one terrible one with COVID, and it's been a terrible storm for the world, and particularly the way men handled it as well. But I want to focus on the verse where it says, they will fall by the edge of the sword, verse 24, will be led captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Well, let's think about that for a second. That, what are the implications of that statement, the times of the Gentiles? Here's our Savior saying that before he returns, the times of the Gentiles will end. Now, we have a friend, a family friend, and his son is actually a friend of Josh, and his brother used to be my right-hand guy for many years, for probably 15 years. He was my right-hand man. And I don't really know him personally, but I know that he said to my wife, he said, I go around shutting down certain denomination of Protestant churches. He goes around the Carolinas and the South shutting down churches. He becomes the pastor, but he's a closer. That's what his job is. And he closed one on Windsor Avenue, if that'll give you a hint. No, that's what his job is to do. He goes into older congregations and and he his purpose is to kind of wind them down and close them up and sell them. And that's what he does. He's hired by his denomination to do that. And we're seeing, we're seeing churches shuttered, denominational churches are shuttered, course, not all churches. I mean, you know, when you think about the time of the Jews, if the time of the Gentiles came, let's say at Pentecost, let's say that the time of the Gentiles began after the resurrection. Let's say that Pentecost, most churches, pastors teach that Pentecost was the birth of the church. Can I get an amen?
Yes.
Is that what you've heard generally spoken? Pentecost was the birth of the church. Whether that's true or not is up for debate, but it's fine with me. Many Gentiles were added that day. That was the first time Gentiles heard the word in Jerusalem. And I'm not sure the church, if you asked any of those people what a church was, they wouldn't know. They didn't exist. They didn't have churches. So at that time, but I'll just say for the sake of argument, that was the birth of the church. That was the beginning of the time of the Gentiles. Okay. Roughly after the Messiah died. And what was his great commission? Go to all Gentiles, to the Goyim, go to the nations and make disciples of all nations, teaching them what I've commanded you and so forth. Amen. He instructed his disciples to go to the Gentiles. He said, I have been sent to the lost sheep from the house of Israel. And when a Gentile woman came to him, he said, it's not fitting to give the children's bread to the dogs. And she said, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs from under the master's table. That's pretty tough talk. I mean, I wouldn't say that to somebody, even if I thought it, you know, but he's the Lord, so yeah, he can say things that we can't all get away with. But he's, you know, he was tough, and he didn't go to the Gentiles, but they often came to him, and they came with faith. And when they came, like the Roman centurion came with such, he said, greater faith have I not seen in all Israel. So he didn't seek out the Gentiles. He sought out the lost sheep from the house of Israel because that was his calling. But when he died, it's just like when King David died, there was a man, I believe his name was Abishai, and he cursed King David. When King David was fleeing from Absalom and he was leaving Jerusalem, there was a man that he met along the side of the road who was a follower, a friend, a relative of Saul, I believe, and he hated David. And he came out of his house and he started throwing rocks at David and cursing him. And David's men wanted to kill him. And David said, don't. This may be of God. Perhaps God is judging me. And don't bother this man. Let him be. Just leave him alone. And Abishai, I believe, he cursed David and he threw stones. But when David got to the end of his life and he gave instruction to his son Solomon, he said, I took a vow not to kill this man Abishai for attacking the Lord's anointed. It's against the scripture, you know, to strike the Lord's anointed. The penalty is death. And David knew that, but he had vowed not to do it. So he said, you do it. He told his son Solomon, you finish him off. So Solomon made he was not allowed to leave Jerusalem, and one day he packed up his stuff and he left Jerusalem, and that was the end of him. And he took care of David's unfinished business. Amen. And a lot of times that's what sons do for fathers, and is they take care of their unfinished business. Amen. All right. So if the times of the Jews ended at Pentecost, but the temple was destroyed in 70. So let's say if Yeshua was crucified in 33, give or take, right? Can we all agree on that, give or take, 33 AD, somewhere around there? Yeah. If Yeshua was crucified in 33, and the temple went on to 70 AD, and sacrificial system continued till 70, the priesthood continued till 70, Jews would make pilgrimage and worship at the temple for another 37 years during the times of the Gentiles.
Okay? 37 years. So Judaism, Pharisaic Judaism, went on for another 37 years after the times of the Gentiles had begun. Okay? How can that be? Well, first of all, just because the times change doesn't mean God wrote off his people. He never... God says... let's turn to Romans 11. Hold your place there, Luke, for a second. We'll go to Romans 11. Verse 1. I say then, God has not rejected his people. Say that with me. I say then, God has not rejected his people. Has he? May it never be. Or as the King James says, God forbid. For I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? And he goes on to say, but basically Paul is saying God did not reject the Jewish people, even though they rejected him. Even though the majority of my people rejected him, here I am, a Jew, saved in 1996, standing before you, an ordained rabbi, for the Messiah. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
I'm like a root out of dry ground, and I never planned on coming here. No offense. I just didn't even know this place existed. You know, I really didn't. I heard a gal friend of mine, not a girlfriend, but a gal friend, went to college, and she was in theater. She was a designer, and she did a summer internship at a place called the Barter Theater in Abingdon, Virginia. I was like, where is Abingdon, Virginia? And she's like, well, if you go as far as you can in Virginia, to the southwest corner, that's where it is. I was like, I don't even know where the northeast corner is. I don't know anything about Virginia. I just knew that Washington, D.C. was next to Virginia. You know, I suppose I knew like Falls Church and Alexandria and stuff like that. But I had never been here, folks. And little did I know, God was preparing a little lady from Bristol, Tennessee to be my wife. And that I would spend more than half my life here. I didn't know that I would end up spending at least almost half, if not more than half, my life here in this area. So anyway, that's the mystery of God. So the Jews didn't know that. It wasn't like a light switch that said the times are changing, but I want to tell you, here's why I think the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Because in 1967, Jerusalem was divided before the war, the 67 war. The Arabs controlled East Jerusalem. The Jordanians mostly controlled East Jerusalem, and their armies were there. And they had a war with Israel and all the Arab nations surrounding Israel, and Israel kicked their butts. And when the Israelis took the Temple Mount, which was in East Jerusalem. The Temple Mount is in East Jerusalem. And the Israelis took it back, and they fought you can see the bullet holes in the walls of the temple around the old city of Jerusalem. You can see the bullet holes to this day from 67, especially around the Zion Gate. You can see the holes very pronounced. When the Israeli army went up and took the Temple Mount, the great fear spread amongst the Arabs in East Jerusalem, and they literally dropped everything and ran. They dropped everything. They left their cars. They left their TVs on. They probably left their babies in the cribs. They just ran to west. They went west and ran across into Jordan. And the Jordanians were singing the song, And now I come to you with open arms. And the Jordanian said, get lost. We don't want you. Go somewhere else. And so the Jordanians created refugee camps, just like, you know, we're sending people up from the southern border to all these lovely sanctuary cities that say they want to have, you know, they want to give refuge to illegal immigrants. And so now the governor of Texas keeps sending them up to the sanctuary cities, and they're complaining. They're complaining about it. You know, they're whining about him sending all these, just, you know, a few thousand people out of the hundreds of thousands or million, over a million have come in. He's sending a few thousand, and they're whining and crying about it and calling, we need the National Guard. We need the National Guard. You know, it's ridiculous, you know, but I'm glad he's doing it. And I, you know, God bless him. I mean, they have to do something. You can't, Texas, those little border towns can't handle all those people. Do you know there's only 20,000? I don't want to get off track, but I got to tell you this. There's only 20,000 border agents, border patrol, in the whole border patrol, there's 20,000. There's 82,000 IRS officers or agents in the country, and they just added 87,000 more. They just provided, I don't think they haven't added them yet, but they're hiring 87,000. They're more than doubling the size of the IRS. Why not double or even triple the size of the Border Patrol? Right. Why not help those folks down there at the border? They need help. But none of that money, which would have really been useful, and we really need more tax collectors, don't we? No. You know, I really think we do. All right, I'm moving on now. Praise the Lord for the Inflation Reduction Act. I can't wait to see inflation drop. I think it'll probably come in about a month or two when nobody has any money left to buy anything. All right. So the times of the Gentiles, I believe, ended in 1967. This is my belief. And the reason I say that is because Jerusalem was reunited. In 1967 was the reunification of East and West Jerusalem. And East Jerusalem is controlled by the Israelis, policed by, and militarily it is under the control of the Israelis. It is inhabited mostly by the Arabs and some crazy Jews who live there and put 20-foot barbed wire fences and cameras everywhere because everybody wants to kill them. Nobody wants them living. The Arabs don't want them living there, but it is controlled by Israel. And the temple is policed and controlled by the Jews. Anyway, I don't want to get into the politics of that. So I just believe that in 1967, the times of the Gentiles end. Well, you say to me, Rabbi Joe, the church is huge compared to the Messianic community. And you know, church, well, Keith Green came out in 1980 and, you know, and had all these great songs, you know, there is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Michael W. Smith came out with Above All Powers, Above All Kings. You know, wonderful Christian music, and Stephen, what's his name? Stephen Chapman and Amy Grant and all these famous, you know, Toby Mac and DC Talk and Third Day, all these Christian, Chris Tomlin. You know, there's been a thriving church since 1967, hasn't there? Yes. But it's actually been a church in decline. I went to a mission conference at a Baptist church, Tri-Cities Baptist in Johnson City. I was invited there about 14 years ago. Don and I were set up a table there. They were invited us. And they had a guy from the Southern Baptists who, he charted the growth of and death of churches of the Southern Baptists. And he said, if you take the Southern, he showed charts, and he said, if you show, he said, sinners aren't coming into Southern Baptist churches anymore. What's happening is people are rotating. People are leaving churches and going to, like, the church up the street, or they're moving to another town and they go to the Southern Baptist church where they go, but they're not getting new, they're not making new converts for the most part. Not, I can't, I'm not saying, I don't want to make a sweeping statement, you know, that there's aren't any, there are, I can't, what do you call that? Stereo, I don't want to stereotype and say, oh, there's no salvations in Southern Baptist churches. That's just not true. There are. There's some really good ones. But my point is, this guy from the Southern Baptist church said, we are not growing. In fact, he showed a flat line. He said, the amount of people we're losing compared to the amount we're gaining is flat. Now, when I thought of what happens when a heart stops, what happens when a heart stops? What do you get? Flat. You get a flat line. And that was 14 years ago in the Southern Baptist Church. Now, the Southern Baptist denomination has had a lot of trouble since then because this whole issue of homosexuality in liberalism has crept into the Southern Baptists, and they're struggling with that issue, and it's divided the convention. The Southern Baptist Convention has divided. Some churches have left. It's not as big as it used to be. Even Christianity, America is a post-Christian nation. We used to be Christians and believers were the majority of people in America probably 20 years ago. We were the majority of people. Now we are in the minority. We are less than the majority of people in the United States. And that's very hard for people who've had the power to let it go. It's very hard for people who've had the power to let it go. Yeah. Amen? Just look at the folks in Washington. Man, they're clinging to it. Power. So the times of the Gentiles, I believe, ended. So you say, Rabbi Joe, if they ended in 1967, well, why has the church been around? You know, and I went to church when I got saved and didn't know if I was a Christian or a Messianic Jew, and there was a lot of, you know, oh gosh, when I got saved, that's when the Left Behind series came out soon after that, and you know, a lot of really funky, cool Christian stuff came out, and I was going to Christian bookstores. I used to love to wear my little dove pin, and I'd go out to a bar, and some girl would ask me, "What's oh, that's pretty. What's that little pin?" I'd say, "Oh, that's the Holy Spirit." And the Holy Spirit, what's that? Are you a Catholic? And then I'd tell them about Jesus. You know, I would go out and witness to people. And anyway, with my little pins. Those things work. I mean, people ask you about them. I had one with a Star of David and a cross in the middle. So the times of the Gentiles, when the times change, friends, it's not like a light switch goes off. It's a gradual process. And so now we're 55 years, I believe, into the time change. It took 37 years for the times of the Jews to actually end, for the temple to be destroyed. And we're seeing the decline of the Christian church. And if you don't believe me, just look at what COVID-19 did to the churches. They're just, I don't think any church is filled the way they were, you know, for the most part. Can I get an amen? For those of you who attend church, have you seen a decline in attendance at your churches?
Yes.
Raise your hand if you have. One, two. Okay. How about Grace? Have you seen a decline there at all? Yeah, it's been a decline. And that's the way it is, you know. And then video is a wonderful thing. Video is a great tool, but you know, it makes it easy for people not to come and to just, you know, watch it online, turn it off, eat a pizza, put on a college football game. on a Saturday, NFL on Sunday. But, you know, it just makes it easy for people not to come. We're not so high tech that we put scriptures up. I make you actually open the Bible if you want to read the word with me. I actually make you open your Bible or use your phone. And but that has made people not read the Bible. People are not reading their Bibles because the preachers are making it easy for them and putting the scriptures up on slides on the screens, and people don't even come with a Bible anymore. And Christian bookstores, how many have you seen go out of business in the last 30 years? They used to be everywhere. They were all over the place. And now, you know, there's one left in Bristol, all of Bristol, one Christian bookstore. You know, and God bless him. So, all right. If the times of the Gentiles have ended, does that mean the church age is ending? Because they preach that Jesus is coming back for a pure and spotless bride, his church. Amen. How many of you would say that the church, I'm talking about the people, and you think of all the stuff that goes on in the church, would you say that is pure and spotless? Raise your hand if you think it's the bride's got her gown ready. Raise it high so I can see if she's ready for her bridegroom to come. No, well, you don't get that feeling, do you? In fact, call me radical, but if the times of the Gentiles ends, doesn't that mean the church age comes to an end at some point? Isaiah 66:23. Let's look there for a second. I'm just throwing out questions for you. I always say, don't take my word for it. Pray about what I say. But, you know, Isaiah 66, we read this. We used to read it every week. It says from Sabbath to Sabbath, 66:23, from Sabbath to Sabbath and new moon to new moon, all flesh, how much flesh? Shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. From Sabbath to Sabbath and new moon to new moon, Isaiah 66:23, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. And when he's saying from Sabbath to Sabbath, and new moon, he's talking about not only the weekly Sabbath, but in Leviticus 23, you'll see that many of his feasts are Sabbaths as well. And new moons are also a holiday. It's the beginning, the first day of the Jewish month on the Jewish calendar, which I don't have one with me right now. But the first day of the... Oh, I do. Okay. So the first day of the month is called Rosh Chodesh. So let's see. Here's the new moon right there. You see the little moon? That's Tishrei going into Cheshvan, and you see the new moon. That's a holiday. Every month is a new moon. So from Sabbath to Sabbath and new moon to new moon, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. These calendars are cool. Because you can see when the new moon is. You can see here's the feast of the Feast of Tabernacles coming up in October in pink, and it says October, so you can, it's like an interlinear, you know, it's our calendar, Western calendar combined with a biblical calendar. So we have some left if you're interested. If you don't have one, it's a great study tool. All right, let's go on. So. There's a lot of indication in the scripture that Christians are in for a big surprise. And it's not anything that I created. It's something, it's just what God's word says. Now, we were in Luke 21, times of the Gentiles. Let's move on. So Isaiah, let's look at Isaiah. We're in Isaiah, so let's go to Isaiah 56, 1 through 8. Now, my purpose is not to bash the church. Don't get me wrong here. But I have to set the foundation for what we're saying here. Isaiah 56, 1 through 8. Thus says the Lord, preserve justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. How blessed is the man who does this and the son of man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner, everybody say the foreigner, that's the non-Jewish person who has joined himself to the Lord, in other words, who knows the Lord, the foreigner who knows the Lord, let not the foreigner who knows the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Well, why would the Gentile say that? The non-Jewish believer, you know, this is a prophecy from Isaiah. Why would the non-Jewish believer say, let not the Lord separate me, who this is a Gentile who keeps the Sabbath, say, let not the Lord separate me from his people. Who are his people? The Jews and the Messianic Jews, right. Preferably the Messianic Jews, but there are Gentiles that go to synagogues too. You'll get more, I think you'll get the truth if you go to a Messianic synagogue. You'll get, I don't know what you'll get if you go to a synagogue. I went for 30 years, and I don't know, it got me real confused. But actually, I didn't know, I really did learn a lot about Judaism, and that's why I know what I know, if you think I know anything. But anyway, what's that? It can't, well, there are so many Judaisms. There are many Judaisms. It can be confusing. That's right. So why is this Gentile crying out, the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Let not the Lord, neither let the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree. For just says the Lord to the eunuchs and the foreigners, who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, them I will give in my house and within my walls. He's talking to you folks. A name better than that of sons and daughters. What's a name better than sons and daughters? We're talking family names now here. What's a name better than sons and daughters? Wife, bride, exactly. He's the husband. He's saying to the Gentile who keeps the Sabbath, I'm going to give you a name better than sons and daughters. Well, bride is the next level up, I think. Amen? Amen. So he also says, I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. Also, the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even those I will bring to my holy mountain. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and the nations will stream to the mountain of the house of the Lord in the last days, and the mountain of the Lord will be raised up above all the mountains of the earth. Isaiah chapter 2. So I will bring them to my house on my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house of prayer will, my house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations, for all the peoples. The Lord God who gathers the dispersed of Israel, that's me, declares, yet others will I gather to them already gathered. You see, all you have to do is, and James said this in Acts 15, Gentiles can fellowship with Messianics if they just abstain from fornication, from eating blood, from food strangled, and from food sacrificed to idols. That's the basic, the baseline. And then he says, well, interesting little verse at the end of his speech, James says, for Moses has preached in every city. If you want, in other words, if you want to go deeper, you don't have to. This is why I say, Sherry, Sabbath, feasts, Messianic Judaism, this is a get-to for a Christian. It's not a have-to. You don't have to do this to be saved. It's a get to do this. But everything he says you do is a blessing. You get a name better than sons and daughters. You get, he's going to bring you to his holy mountain. He's going to make his house a house of prayer for all nations. He's going to, everything he says to the non-Jews, he promises comes with a blessing attached to it if you do it. So if you keep his Sabbaths, you're going to get blessed. So if you're here, God bless you because you're blessed. Amen. The folks out there cutting their lawns, God bless them. The folks out there who are playing golf and trimming their bushes and many of them know what I say. They've heard these words. They've got their routine, Saturday routine. They got their Sunday routine. That's it. And you know, I changed my routine, friends, Facebook friends, friends online, friends in the room. I changed my routine. I didn't used to go to the synagogue, okay, on Saturdays. I slept late. I went to the synagogue about 12 times a year for bar mitzvahs, for holidays. When I was 17, 18, 20 years old, I didn't attend synagogue regularly. You know, when I went every week until I was about 13, until I had my bar mitzvah. But I would have Friday night dinner with my family, Shabbat dinner. We'd light the candles. My mother would make a beautiful Shabbat dinner, and I would go have dinner on Friday nights with my mom and my dad and my sisters and so on. But Sabbath didn't... Shabbat is part of my life because of Messiah. Because of Messiah, I'm here. Because of Messiah, I study. Because of Messiah, I research Torah and the Word of God. And God has called me as an evangelist. I've traveled the world and preached the gospel because I've seen the reality of Yeshua, of Jesus of Nazareth. I've seen the power of God. I've seen the healing power of God. I've seen the resurrection power of God. I've seen people get out of comas and wake up. I've seen a little girl twice. I've seen two people in terrible car accidents and comas wake up when they should have died. And one little girl, we anointed her and just whispered in her ear, "Honey, Megan, call on the name of Jesus. Jesus loves you. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord," she was not a Jewish person. We didn't say Yeshua. And we just said, "Call on Jesus. Jesus will save you." She was in a coma. She got hit by a big old pickup truck going 50 miles an hour. She flew 60, 70 feet through the air. Was in a coma in Johnson City Hospital. And we went to her. And we anointed her and whispered in her ear to call on Jesus, and she sat up.
Praise the Lord.
She sat up at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. And you know that little girl is a waitress at one of the restaurants at Exit 7. The last time I saw her, she's been living a normal life ever since she got out, got healed. And I've seen incredible miracles, and I've gone around the world preaching the power of God. And when I got on my knees and asked God to come into my life when I was 28 years old, I said, "God, I have religion, but I want to know I want your power. I want your power, God. I don't want religion. I go to synagogue and I need help in my life. I want to know you're real. Come into my life." I invited him. I said, "God, if you're real, come into my life. Show me your power, the power that parted the Red Sea, the power that caused Pharaoh and his chariots to be covered by the waters of the Red Sea, the power that turned the Nile River to blood, the power that created the heavens and the earth in the creation. Show me that power that delivered my people Israel from all their enemies." I feel like we've been the world's victim, but we used to be powerful. Show me that power. He did. He did. Praise God. All right. John 10. So we saw something here before we leave this. Look at verse 8. The Lord God who gathers the dispersed of Israel declares, yet others I will gather to them, to those already gathered. Who's he talking about? Say me. You all say me. Yeah, that's you. He's talking. That's you. You're in the Bible. He's talking about you. He's saying, it's the ones that already gathered, not, you know, Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Paul, Peter, John, James, to all those people, Mary Magdalene, to the ones already gathered, I'm going to gather new ones. Now turn to John 10, 14. This is a message a lot about really who you are. John 10, 14 through 18. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Wow. That's me. He's telling Jews, he's sitting on a hillside with a group of Jews, and he's telling them, I have sheep from a fold that you don't know. I must bring them too, and they will become one flock with you, with one shepherd. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Isn't that what Messianic Judaism, Jew and Gentile, one?
Yep, right.
Isn't that where we're headed? Isn't this is what I see.
Yes.
When he comes back, there's going to be a big fat Jewish wedding. Amen. Not a Greek wedding, but a Jewish wedding. Mm-hmm. And we're all going to be Messianic. Everybody. Remember, from Sabbath to Sabbath and new moon to new moon, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. It's not going to be a choice in those days. Today it's a choice. And when he comes, if you want to follow him, I don't think it's going to be a choice. And that's not me speaking. That's what I see. Tea's better for my throat, but I like the coffee. All right, let's go on. Grafted into what? What are you grafted into? Everybody says to me, people say to me all the time, I've heard it all. This is my favorite one. Congratulations, brother, you're a completed Jew. For many years, I was too mild-mannered and genteel to say anything unseemly. But then when I got a little older, I started saying, thank you. And are you a completed Christian? And they would look at me with like I had three heads when I'd say that. Are you a completed Christian? They had no idea what I was talking about. But I'm talking about what it means to be grafted in. But how are they grafted in? People would say to me, well, I'm Jew. I'm grafted in. They never darkened the door of a synagogue, but they're a Jew. They never got circumcised. They don't know what the feasts are. They don't know anything. They don't know anything about Jewish, but they're a Jew. You know, I used to hang out with my Latino friends when I sold rice and beans for Goya, and I spoke Spanish, and my company that I worked for, Goya Foods, you might see their rice and beans in the supermarkets. I was a sales broker for them. I worked with 13 Latinos in my sales group. And so, you know, I spoke their language, and they would have parties. They would have part for the salesmen. They would bring us down to Secaucus, New Jersey, to the Hilton, and they'd bring in Tito Puente, Isu Orquestra, and his band, and he was a famous band leader. And we would... Pachanga, Latina, woo, woo. And, you know, a ver, a ver, a mover la colita. Si no la mueve, se te va a poner malita. I shouldn't have even said that. Forgive me if you speak Spanish and you know what I just said. But it was a song. Anyway, you know, did you know what I said? anyway, you know, that's I was like in this Latino world, and I was trying to fit in, but I never quite fit in. Then I went to law school, and my law study partner was Italian, and we hung out about 15 hours a day, and he was real Italian, Joe Curtatone. And Mrs. Curtatone used to make us mustard greens with olive oil and garlic, and she would make all this Italian food for us. And oh my God, me and Joey, we'd sit there, and Joe was like an Adonis. I mean, he's square head, muscle, big bodybuilder, and olive complexion, handsome, you know. And we'd go to the cafes in Boston's Italian North End. He'd drive his black Lincoln town car, which he kept his Glock in the back in the trunk. I think he might have been connected, you know. And anyway, we'd go to the Cafe Pompeii, and we'd sit there, and he'd lean back like this, and he would drink his espresso like this. You know, he'd take a sip. So I would do the same thing. I'd go like this, and I'd drink my espresso like this, you know. So one night we're sitting there, me and him, and we're drinking our espressos and cappuccinos, and some Italian girls came in. These were real Italians. They didn't speak English. So I said, this is before I met Dawn. She won't mind me telling you a story. So I said, I was kind of trying to talk to one of them, and I said, Joe, give me something to say to her. So he says, questa sera tu se capelle sono lustre come luna. Questa sera tu se capelle sono lustre come luna. Anybody know what that means? Tonight your hair, it shines like the moon. Well, that was all I had to say. You know, I had a date the next Saturday night. Say that to any lady in Italian, and I mean, who would turn you down? Sharon's giving me a look. Tonight your hair, it shines like the moon. Actually, I told my wife, doesn't she have beautiful hair?
Yes, she does.
On our first date, I said, I like you. She says, why do you like me? I said, because you have pretty hair. And she said, a lot of girls have pretty hair. And I said, oh, okay. She said, is there any other reason you like me? And I said, well, I just met you. She said, you better go home and think about why you like me. So I did. I went home and I did my homework, because I've been married going on 26 years now. And she put me to the test. But she does have pretty hair. She's still beautiful. She's my beautiful dog. Anyway, all right, let's move on here. So grafted in. A lot of people say they're grafted in. I tried to graft into the Italians. That didn't work either. You know, it just doesn't work. You're never going to be something that you're not. I lived in Spain for a year. I'm not Spanish. You know, I can't fake it. Even though I speak it, I can't fake it. People try to be something they're not. And there's all these people out there trying to be Jews. They wear prayer shawls. They blow shofars. They learn Hebrew better than I do. They, you know, they spend more time learning Hebrew than I do. You know, I learned it years ago. And I can read it and chant it and all that. But you know, these people spend hours studying it. You know, and they go... They want to be, we used to call them at Jews for Jesus, super Jewish Gentiles. we call them super Jewish Gentiles. They were so into being Jewish, and they were into the stuff, you know. They weren't into, they were into this stuff, you know. They were into shofars and prayer shawls And it's not about the stuff. The stuff is cool, but it's about the people. Amen? It's never about the stuff. It's all about relationship.
Amen.
So grafted in, remember, let not the Gentile who is grafted into the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. God always intended for you and I to be together. That was the plan. That's what being grafted in is really all about. Jew and Gentile, one in the Messiah. One flock, John 10:14. One shepherd. But unfortunately, Messianic Judaism is a tool to bring people from all backgrounds, black, white, Hispanic, Protestant, Catholic, Jewish, nothing, Buddhist, whatever, you know, pagan, together. Hopefully they become believers. The first time I preached in this Tri-Cities, a witch got saved. I didn't know she was there. Yeah. It was my first meeting. It was Rosh Hashanah, 1999. There was a witch in the back of the room. And she came with Brenda Kennedy. And I'm glad nobody told me she was there because I would have been nervous. It was my first meeting. There were 75 people in the room. It was a Rosh Hashanah service. And I gave my message on the Feast of Trumpets. I must have given an invitation, and this gal she was in line to be the high priestess of her coven, yeah. She was in line to be the next high priestess. She got saved, and they kept placing curses on her, and after that, and her life was hell on earth. But she's with the Lord now. And she's gone on to be with the Lord, but she got saved. That was my first meeting. And I've seen some amazing stuff, you know. And I've seen demons cast out. I cast out my first demon a month into the Lord. I was a baby believer. And a demon manifested. I was eating breakfast with a guy, and he started manifesting a demon. And I said, in the name of Yeshua, come out of him. I read it somewhere in the Bible. And he did. The demon came out. So, you know, I have since cast out about a half dozen more demons. Don will tell you, I was on the Mount of on Mount Carmel preaching at an Ethiopian congregation, and her Presbyterian mother was sitting in the audience, and a woman manifested a demon, and this was wild. She was gangbusters, foaming at the mouth, convulsing, full-grown woman shrieking. And Don's very staid Presbyterian mother was sitting there mortified as her son-in-law was casting out a demon in this Ethiopian Messianic Jewish congregation on Mount Carmel in Israel. And then she fell on the floor. After I dealt with her for about 8 minutes, I had a line of people to pray with, so I called the elders. I said, please take over. And she was on the floor shrieking and breathing, and they were all screaming at her. Come out, you know. It was a wild day, wasn't it? I have Don as my witness. All right, so grafted in. Abraham, Galatians 3:29. If any man is in Christ, any person is in Christ, then they are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Well, Abraham had descendants, friends, through Ishmael, through Isaac, and then through his second set of kids, with, I think her name was Keturah, when he remarried after Sarah died, he had more kids. So he had a whole bunch of kids. Six of them? Oh, thank you. I do appreciate that. So what line is God, people, Gentiles and Jews? I would rather he meant, what line is he saying? You know, when he's saying, if any man is in Messiah, he's Abraham's seed, heir according to the promise. Is he saying that a Gentile, that anybody who is in Messiah, in Christ, in Yeshua, is now a Jew? Is that what he's saying? Could mean your Abraham seed through Ishmael? Could it mean your Abraham? Is it even talking about physical seed? No. It's by faith. Your Abraham seed of faith. This is where people get off. Of course, my wife is Scotch, Irish, German, English, I believe. And I'm fascinated. I've been watching all these programs on Scotland and learning about, you know, the culture of my wife's ancestry and England, too. I've been watching a lot of historical dramas on Netflix and stuff the last 3-4 years and learning about. I didn't know. I found out there's a show called The Last Kingdom. I didn't know that the kingdom of England was 1,000 years old and that a guy named Alfred, who lived in a place called Wessex, was the first king who tried to unify the United Kingdom and actually succeeded through his descendants, and that the queen on the throne today is related to him. I had no idea. You know, and of course they take liberality with the show, but it's very historically, a lot of it's historically accurate. I learned a lot about the Vikings. I've learned about the Highlanders and the wars and the Battle of Culloden and the Battle of all these, you know, of William Wallace and all this stuff that I had no idea, you know, about the history of the Jacobites and how, you know, Scotland became part of the United Kingdom. I just, you know, it was all foreign to me. But it fascinates me, you know, to learn about that, just as she's fascinated to learn about my culture. And I don't think she should be ashamed of who she is. And I don't think you should either. You shouldn't try to want to be a Jew. You should be proud to be a Messianic Italian or a Messianic Puerto Rican or a Messianic English person or a Messianic Scottish person. You should be proud of your heritage because that's what God made you. Now, don't be proud of the paganism. You can still be German, or you can be Scottish, or you can be Ecuadorian. Just put away the idols, you know, and be proud that God made you who you are, you know, and accept it, you know, and you know. There's Arab Christians. I've heard the term for many years, Arab Christians. This is before I was a believer. I was like, what's an Arab Christian? How can you be an Arab and a Christian? I used to think, you know, they're all Arabs or Muslims. Now I realize, just like I'm a Jewish Christian, I guess people would call me. I call myself a Messianic Jew. But these Arab Christians are Arabs who have forsaken Islam and Allah, and they believe in Yeshua and Jesus, and they read the Bible and they go to church, you know, and some are really believers and some aren't, but you know, so praise the Lord, you know, that's the forsaken Islam. So Galatians 3:29, if any man is in Messiah, he's Abraham's seed of faith. A zebra can't change his stripes, and we can't change who we are as people, you know? I'm never going to be a good jumper when it comes to basketball. Never was, never will. Hallelujah. All right, Ephesians 2. Oh, this is an amazing chapter. Let's all go to Ephesians 2 for a second. Am I boring you?
No.
That's good. Ephesians 2. This is an amazing chapter here. Verse 11. Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Wow. Having no hope and without God in the world. Okay? For he himself, but, oh, I'm sorry, I missed that segue. Here's the, this is the best word in the whole scripture right here for you guys. Everybody say, but. But! Now in Messiah Yeshua, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Is anybody excited? You who had no hope, were without God, separated from the covenants, formerly were far off, strangers, no hope, have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. Woohoo! What would make you go woohoo? What could I do? What would excite you if you saw your child riding a bronco or something? Would that make you go woohoo? Woohoo! If you saw me riding an electric tricycle up the street going 15 miles an hour, woohoo! Go Rabbi! Yeah! Nice tricycle. I might get one. I liked them. They weren't as fast as the two-wheel ones, but what would make you go woohoo? Woohoo! All right. So let's read on, okay? But now in Messiah Yeshua, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. He made us both into one. Well, if you look at the early church, it was one, wasn't it? It was Jews and non-Jews worshiping together, mostly led by Jews. Paul kind of, and Peter, they kind of went around and planted these ecclesias. They weren't actually called churches. They were congregations. Uh-huh. And until the Catholics came into the picture, until Constantine, and they changed the word to church, which is actually, ecclesia does not mean church. The word for church in Greek is kariakon, and it's the Greek word for church. So somebody who didn't like Jews wanted to create a new religion. So they changed the meaning of the word ecclesia, which means the assembly or the congregation, and they took the word kariakon. They basically, they might as well have just taken ecclesia out and put kariakon in, you know, because kariakon means the building, and it means, or in English, in Old English, church, C-I-R-C-E, church. In Germanic, Kirk, same word, that's where church comes from. Kirk, Kariakon in Greek, and has nothing to do with the people. Ekklesia is the assembly, synagoge is the assembly, they're both synonymous words. The Romans actually, there's writings from those days where the Romans had synagogues. They weren't houses of worship, they were gathering places, gatherings of Romans, synagogues. So synagogue and ecclesia mean the assembly, the congregation, not the building. Kariakon is the building. Kirk, church in English, Kirk in Germanic, and it's the building. Somehow, history, somebody who didn't like Jews and wanted to create a new religion, separate from the Jews, created, it's probably someone from Rome, you know, created the word church. And it stuck, you know, it stuck. What can I say? How do you undo 2,000 years of false teaching? I don't even try. All right, so let's go on here. This is an incredible chapter. We don't have much more. So for today. Anyway. All right. So remember at that time you were saying, but now in Messiah Yeshua, verse 13, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Woohoo! By abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the Torah of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, has there been enmity and strife between Jew and Christian over the last 1800 years?
Yeah.
A Holocaust, the pogroms of Russia, the Spanish Inquisition, the Crusades. Think of anything else. And you know, having lived in Spain, the Inquisition is alive and well. They still hate our guts. And I got very sick in Spain. And I know another Jewish guy that went there and got very sick. There's a spirit of the Inquisition that I went there as an unbeliever. And it overtook me, and I got poisoned. I got salmonella and campylobacter, a parasite and a bacterial infection in the stomach at the same time. Most people die. I didn't. I lived, but I had stomach problems to this day from that trip when I was 22 years old. So anyway, so we're remember Dr. King? He came and brought civil rights for black folks. He, in a peaceful way, through his peaceful protest, made it possible for black people to not sit in the back of the bus, to not have separate restrooms, not have separate drinking fountains, to have jobs, to become lawyers, doctors, accountants, presidents, national security, NSA chairman, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, generals in the military, high-ranking people in our government, vice presidents of the United States, Hollywood, high-paid Hollywood, highest-paid rappers, musicians, amen? Because of Dr. King, we have the Real Housewives of Atlanta. Would we have that? I don't think so. I don't think we'd have that. I'm serious. Black people in America have risen, they've broken through the glass ceiling. But this government would tell you that's not true. Now, we never had a race problem in Bristol that I know of. I've been here 23 years. Now, Margaret, you correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe since I've been here in 22, 23 years, I've never seen any black whites fighting or anything like that. I've never seen any tension in the communities. In fact, I've gone to pastors' groups where there were black pastors and white pastors. And some of my closest friends, I've preached at AME Zion churches all over, Sister Johnson. I preached at her church 3 or 4 times. I preached at, W.A. Johnson never let anybody preach in his pulpit. But he was a friend of mine. And I've preached in 24 black churches in this region and been very well received. Amen? All right. So does that mean there aren't people? There's always going to be racists, guys. There's always going to be people that don't like other people. There's always going to be people that hate Jews. There's always going to be people that don't like blacks. There's always going to be people that don't like Indians. There's always going to be people that don't like Christians. There's always going to be people that have an issue with somebody. Amen? You know, but there's a lot of good people too. Yes. Amen? There's a lot of good people. All right. So, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, so Dr. King, was making a point. He abolished the enmity between black and white I think he was very victorious in his fight for civil rights. Was it perfect? It took years for it to unfold. You know, there was busing in the 70s and the whole process of assimilating blacks and Hispanics into the white community. That was difficult, but it worked. They did it, and it's done. You know, there's no more busing. There's no more issue about black kids and white kids going to school together anymore. That's ancient history. So, but what they've done is we've undone his work, haven't we? We've taken the good work that Dr. Martin Luther King did, and now he's spinning around in his grave, you know, saying, why are you guys stirring up all this racism? You know, they're undoing his work with hate, trying to stir up racism where it doesn't exist. You know, I mean, I don't look at, you know, somebody who's black, like William, I don't say, there's my black friend William. It's just William. It's my brother William. Amen? You know, he's been with me for 17 years. You know, I don't see him as by his color. He's just William. Hallelujah. All right. So what's my point here is that men did away... They messed up the message of the Messiah here. He abolished in his flesh the enmity, but we went and messed it up. We brought it back. So he tried in verse 16 that he didn't fail. He just hasn't finished the job yet. Might reconcile them both, verse 16, in one body to God through the cross by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Messiah Yeshua himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building is being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Now let me ask you a question. For the last 17 years, were Jew and non-Jew built together? Let's say we're all bricks in the temple of God that he's building. Were we built together for the last 1700 years, or were we built separately? Separately, right. Let's read another verse. Let's keep going. Verse 22, in whom you also are being built together, Jew and Gentile, into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Except for the last 50 years. Did you ever hear of Messianic Judaism 50 years ago? Anybody?
No.
Did you ever even imagine that there'd be a Jewish rabbi for Jesus preaching in Bristol, Virginia, in Tennessee, 50 years ago? Hey, raise your hand if you saw it coming. And where? Did you know about it then? Well, you're 4 years older than me, so that's why I didn't know. I was only 1 year old back then, so. Anyway, we haven't been built together until now. What are we doing here? We are trying, with the Lord's help, to build together in the Spirit, a dwelling in the Spirit. Amen. That's what we're doing. We're trying to build together a dwelling of God in the Spirit. And guess who doesn't like it? Satan. Satan hates what you're doing. He hates this. And he fights it. And you have to withstand the fight. Because God's going to bring us, make us one. Remember he said, John 10, I will bring you, make you into one flock with one shepherd. No more denominations. No more, you know, if, and remember, go back to the beginning of this message. If the Gentile age ends, then what age starts? The Jewish, or the Messianic Jewish age. Amen. And we're all going to be Messianic Jewish. Amen. We're all going to be Messianic Jewish. They just don't know about it. You know, you're getting it. So we're all at different places. We're all on different levels. You got it, Margaret. Good word. We're all on different levels. But if you're here, you know, so many of the folks out there, they need to be here. This place should be full. I mean, this is 140 seats, 130 seats. That's not that too much to ask that for an area of about 150,000 people in the Tri-Cities. Is that too much to ask to fill a room with 140 people? I don't think so. All right. Let's look at chapter 3 there. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Messiah Yeshua, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise of Messiah Yeshua through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. Praise God. So, God was, you guys were brought in. So I was grafted in. And then, look at Romans 11. And then I'm going to conclude. Romans 11, verse 11. I say then, they did not stumble, speaking of the Jewish people, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? God forbid. But by our transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make us jealous. Mm-hmm. Salvation came to the Gentiles to make the Jewish people jealous. Now, if our transgression is riches for the world and our failure is riches for the Gentiles, how much more riches will our fulfillment bring you? That's what he's saying. He's saying, how much more, what greater riches will you get? Well, what did you get? Because my ancestors stumbled and rejected the Messiah for the most part, especially the leaders. You guys got the Bible, salvation, eternal life, the purpose-driven life, relationship with God, God's protection, healing, his power. I once was amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You got eyesight? Spiritual eyesight? Covered dish? Amazing. And he says, you got more coming. Greater riches. What could be better than eternal life? What could be better? Maybe being the bride? It does say in Revelation 19 that the bride was given white linen, fine and clean, and it says, blessed are they who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The bride's up there with the groom. Who are the guests? Maybe they're the ones who didn't follow the playbook. They get to go to the wedding, but they may not be the bride. That's Revelation 19:7. Let's finish this chapter and we'll bring it home. So, verse 13, but I am speaking to you who are Gentiles, and as much then as I am an apostle of Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, if somehow I might move to jealousy my fellow countrymen and save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Resurrection. If the first piece of dough is holy, the lump is also. And if the root is holy, the branches are too. But if some of the branches were broken off, myself being one of them, and you being a wild olive branch were grafted in among them and became partaker of them with the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Behold then the kindness and severity of God to those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue, that's us Jews, in their unbelief, we will be grafted in, for God is able to graft us in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into our own olive tree? Oh, my own olive tree. I was grafted back into my own olive tree. Do you know how I went to a Protestant prep school in New England, famous for places like Choate, Andover, St. Paul's, St. Mark's, famous academies of the rich and privileged. And I went to a school called the Rivers Country Day School. Tuition's about $60,000 a year now. I think it was $8,000 when I went. That's how much it cost to go to a day school in that league. I went, and I used to go to the homes. Governor Saltonstall's grandson was in my class, and there were all this old money. They called them WASPs, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. They weren't really Christians. They were just not Jewish. We had chapel with an Episcopalian priest once a week, and I don't think I learned a dime about the gospel, but. What I did learn was they all had family crests. They all had family coats of arms. And they could all trace their lineage back to King George III, And they were all came over. Somebody came over on the Mayflower. They were all daughters of the Mayflower and sons of the Mayflower, whatever, And what was I? I couldn't trace my lineage back past the pogroms of Russia. My ancestors' gravestones were turned into pavement in places like Poland and and they took the stones out of the graveyards. And where did they keep the genealogies and the courthouses and the synagogues, which they burned down, and they destroyed the records? So I was always bothered by that, that my Gentile friends could trace their ancestry back to the kings of England, and I couldn't trace mine back 150 years. And then I got saved, and God said, "This is your genealogy. This is your family. And this is your olive tree. This is your olive tree." Wow. Now, I can't go around to churches and Christians and say, "Well, since you're a part of my olive tree, you need to do this, 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 and this. It's my tree. So you need to stop doing Christmas. And, you know, put away those Easter bunnies and those silly colored eggs. I mean, let's get real now, people. Come on. It's my tree." And it doesn't work that way. They put them on a tree. I can only teach it with humility. You know, I can't tell people to, I can't make them be what God's trying to get them to be. Only God can. If you're here, I didn't twist your arm. Is there anyone here whose arm I twisted to come? Honey, tell me your name again, your first name. Janet. And you go by? Hannah? Johanna. I like that. Johanna. Johanna. That's a pretty name. Joanna. So you know, I don't think have we ever met before? Okay. Yeah, they started with me. And
yeah, I was, part of my life was, I was brought up Jewish.
Uh-huh.
And then I lost my family, and so I didn't get what I wanted enough of. I desired Judaism.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I kept
good for you. Good for you. Amen. Never stop seeking, never stop growing. Praise the Lord. So I think your story resonates probably with, raise your hand if her story resonates with you. Anybody else in this room? Amen. Conclusion. I could talk about the time, the sojourner, but I'm not going to go there today. But for your own reading, I suggest you read Numbers 15, 14 through 17. Chapter 15, verse 14 through 17. Acts 15, 19 through 21. Isaiah 56. Acts 2. All those Gentiles were sojourning with the Jews at Pentecost. Another verse, Isaiah 14, 1. Ezekiel 47, 21. Zechariah 14:16, where the Gentiles come up and celebrate the Feast of Sukkot. When the Messiah returns, they come to Jerusalem, or they have no rain. It says in the Bible, Zechariah 14:16, it says, every nation shall come up to Jerusalem once a year to celebrate the Feast of Sukkot, booths, or they'll have no rain. The nation that doesn't come will have no rain. Conclusion. When Don and I arrived here 23 years ago to begin for Zion's Sake Ministries and our Yehuda Messianic Congregation, our mission statement was on our business card. It read, "Restoring the unity of Jew and Gentile in the Messiah." That, my friends, is the bottom line. God always intended for us to be together. As we have read, we can tell by the court of the Gentiles, the law of the sojourner, which again, I just gave you the scriptures, Acts 15 and 10, many other verses. It was never about the feasts or the prayer shawls or the shofars or the candles or even knowing Hebrew. It was always about repairing the broken relationship between Jew and Christian in the Messiah, forged by centuries of hatred, misunderstanding, and ignorance on both parts. But Psalm 133 says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." That is God's perfect will. And one last word about family. A few years ago, the group Sister Sledge sang their song, "We Are Family," at our conference, the Messiah Conference. You can't pick your family, but they are your family. It's not about like. Families do not always get along, but family is family, and true family doesn't quit. Shabbat Shalom. Please rise. God bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom." May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. And God bless you, and you are joyfully welcome to be grafted in here at this little embassy or consulate of spiritual Israel. Shabbat Shalom.